Have you ever truly paused to look at the iconic figures of justice and fortune? You know, those blindfolded ladies with the scales and the wheel. You see them often like adorning courthouses or in allegorical art. On the surface, I suppose, their blindfolds seem straightforward enough.
Yeah, justice is impartial, right? And fortune is just random.
Arbitrary.
Exactly. But what if there's actually far more to these symbols than, meets the eye? What if their blindness tells a much deeper story? Maybe about society, power, and what we truly value.
It really makes you look twice, doesn't it? It's something you thought was kind of settled. Well, today we're taking a really fascinating deep dive. It's into a brilliant article by the Austrian humanist and atheist Clemens Lintschinger.
Cool, Lynchinger, right?
Yeah. The piece is titled Die Augenbinden von Justitia und Fortuna Ursprung, Wandel und Kritik eines Symbols, which basically translates to the blindfolds of Justitia and Fortuna origin, change, and criticism of a symbol. And honestly, his work provides such a profound and often surprising perspective on these figures we think we know so well. So, our mission today is to unpack that surprising history, the evolving meaning behind these symbols, and maybe challenge some of our own preconceptions, uncover insights about how society has or, well, hasn't approached fairness and fate.
Yeah, prepare for some aha moments, I think.
Definitely. It'll make you look at these familiar figures in a completely new light. Okay, so let's start with the images we all kind of carry in our minds. When you think of Justitia, her blindfold, it instantly conjures that ideal of impartiality, doesn't it? I
Absolutely.
mean, she judges without prejudice, no favoritism, not seeing gender, skin color, faith.
Right, or social background.
Yeah, it's that powerful promise of equality before the law, kind of a cornerstone of modern justice, you'd say.
Totally. And for Fortuna, the goddess of luck and fate, her bound eyes signify something similar yet distinct. It's that destiny doesn't discriminate. It's arbitrary, unpredictable, operating beyond any concept of justice or even merit. She just sort of doles out good and bad fortune without looking. It reminds us how little control we truly have over life's twists and turns.
Whether it's a sudden windfall or, an unexpected setback.
Exactly. Her blindness is like a stark reflection of the randomness of it all.
But, and this is crucial, Lynchinger asks right off the bat, is that the whole truth? Is the blindfold's meaning really as simple and consistent as we've maybe come to believe?
Or is there more behind these symbols, a hidden history that really challenges our modern takes?
And perhaps most provocatively, he asks, is it time we finally take the blindfold off Justitia?
Well, what's genuinely striking from Lynchinger's research is how deeply the modern image differs from the ancient
How
origins.
so?
The blindfold. Well, it isn't original to these goddesses at all, not even close. If we look back to ancient Rome, for instance, we find Equitis. She's the goddess of balance and fairness.
Okay, Equitas.
Yeah, she was always depicted with scales in the cornucopia, symbolizing abundance, equitable distribution.
Right.
And crucially, she was always seeing. Her eyes were wide open, actively recognizing and weighing things up.
And Fortuna, too? What's she seeing?
Fortuna, too, yeah. In ancient iconography, she was typically shown without a blindfold. She often had her wheel, symbolizing, the constant turning of
Well, them
fortunes.
ups and downs.
Exactly. Or a cornucopia, or even a ship's rudder, which kind of underscored her unpredictable and guiding yet sightful nature.
So both of these powerful goddesses were, in their original forms, seers.
They were active participants, it seems, not just passive unseen forces. And even Justitia herself, when she was established as a goddess of justice under Emperor Augustus, she took on Equitus's scales. She gained a sword for enforcement. But again, consistently depicted with open eyes.
Always open eyed.
Always. The idea of a blind Justitia simply wasn't part of the ancient world. It didn't even appear in the Middle Ages.
Wow. So this image we hold so dear is what, a surprisingly modern invention.
Pretty much, yeah, relatively speaking.
All right, here's where it gets truly fascinating. This is where Lynchinger's deep dive reveals a genuine turning point. Our investigation, following his work, uncovers a very specific moment of change. The year 1494 in Basel, Switzerland.
Okay, 1494.
This is when the blindfold first appears on Justitia. And here's the kicker.
Oh, cool.
It wasn't a symbol of impartiality at all. It was meant as sharp, biting satire.
Satire, you're kidding.
No! Can you imagine a symbol we now link with pure, unbiased justice actually starting as a mocking criticism?
That's incredible. So how did that happen? Well, it was in the first edition of Sebastian Brandt's moral satire, Narrenchief.
Ah, The Ship of Fools, famous work.
Hugely influential, yeah. It sharply critiqued all the societal follies and corruptions of the time. And one of the woodcuts illustrating the text possibly even by a young Albrecht Dürer, which is amazing in itself.
Wow.
It depicts a fool actively biting Justitia's eye.
A fool putting the blindfold on.
Exactly. So in that context, the blindfold symbolized judicial blindness, corruptibility, the failure of justice because of incompetent or biased judges.
So the complete opposite of impartiality.
The absolute opposite. It was a harsh indictment of the legal system, not some kind of idealization.
So the meaning just completely flipped. Over centuries, this satirical symbol born out of criticism, like lampooning judicial failure, it became reinterpreted into the very ideal we associate with it today. Impartial, unseeing justice.
It's an incredible example of how symbols can evolve, isn't it? Even reverse their core meaning entirely.
Totally. But as Lynchinger highlights, this reinterpretation, it was never entirely clear-cut. Yeah. And the blindfold has, well, always faced criticism throughout history.
That's right. Even well into the 20th century, you find powerful artistic depictions of a seeing justice. It signals a kind of resistance to the blindfolded ideal.
Like what?
Well, consider Professor Willy Spatz's monumental 1913 mural. It's in the Dusseldorf Higher Regional Court in Germany. His depiction of justice is stern, majestic, holding her usual symbols. But her eyes are totally uncovered.
She wants to see.
Exactly. Actively observing the proceedings, the people before her.
Yeah.
Embodying a justice that is vigilant and aware, not detached.
And there's another powerful artistic critique, equally compelling, I think, Gustav Klimt's Jurisprudence painting.
Oh, yes. From the early 1900s for the University of Vienna.
And this wasn't subtle at all. It's a stark, almost disturbing portrayal. You see this helpless person, seemingly at the mercy of justice, surrounded by these distant, indifferent allegories, truth, justice again, without a blindfold and the law.
Klimt's justice seems unseeing, not because she's impartial, but maybe because she's coldly indifferent to human suffering.
Yeah, it's chilling. And the piece itself was so critically charged, apparently it was never actually installed in the university.
And tragically, it was eventually destroyed. A huge loss. Now, what's truly remarkable, and maybe a bit bizarre, is how the blindfold then became a 20th century German national politicum.
A politicum? You mean like a political issue?
Exactly. A major, contentious political and ideological thing. There was even a surprising ministerial decree in 1907.
A government decree about art?
Yes. The German government ordered that the blindfold be explicitly left off depictions of justice in prominent public artworks.
You're kidding. Why?
Well, it sparked fierce public and intellectual debate. Critics, quite rightly, argued that art should not be confined by bureaucratic ordinances.
Sure.
But it wasn't just about aesthetics. It was really about the very nature of justice itself.
So this wasn't just some artistic squabble then. It reflected something deeper.
Oh, absolutely. A deep ideological divide among German jurists at the time. On one side, you had the Romanistic camp. They advocated for like a strict rational application of abstract law, universal principle.
Okay, the formalist.
Kind of. And on the other side, the Germanistic camp. They were rooted in a more nationalistic, almost romantic or emotional view of law. They argued justice should be deeply attuned to the unique characteristics and needs of the German people.
Wow, that's quite a split.
Yeah. Ernst von Mueller, a prominent law professor back then, even expressed this fervent desire for German justice to become so profoundly German and just that the blindfold would fall from our blind goddess Themis Justitia of his own accord.
So a debate about whether justice should be universally blind or like locally empathetic.
Precisely. And this rich historical journey, it leads us right to a crucial philosophical question that Lynchinger poses for us today.
Which
is it dangerous if the law hides behind a supposed neutrality and maybe loses touch with lived reality?
Mm-hmm.
Is justice truly only equality before the law in a purely abstract sense? Or does it need to see, to recognize differences, allow for humanity, for individual circumstances, unique needs?
That's where the blindfold becomes such a powerful metaphor for our ongoing societal debates, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is exactly where Lynchinger brings in compelling contemporary arguments, connecting this whole history to modern issues. Feminist critics, for instance, argue that a blind Justitia, despite its stated ideal, effectively ignores the historical role law has played in cementing discrimination.
How so?
They point to systemic blind spots, things like the very belated criminalization of marital rape in many places.
Far too long.
Or the historical persecution of homosexual men under laws that claim to be neutral but clearly weren't in practice.
Their argument is really powerful that formal neutrality, when it's blind to the prevailing power dynamics and, you know, deeply embedded discrimination, it actually ends up solidifying existing inequalities.
So it maintains the status quo instead of challenging it.
Exactly. So they advocate for a seeing justicia, one that actively perceives human diversity, recognizes systemic disadvantages, and works proactively to balance those imbalances. A call for justice to be actively corrective, maybe, not just formally equal on paper.
Something like that, yeah.
And you see similar arguments from other perspectives too, right?
Definitely. From a, say, left ideological perspective, the blindfold is often seen not as impartiality, but is actively looking away from profound social inequalities.
Class differences, structural power.
Exactly. And from countries with colonial pasts, the critique is particularly sharp. A Western justice system, imposed with its blindfolded ideal, often ignored or actively suppressed indigenous legal traditions.
Risking the erasure of dignity, even entire cultures.
Which feels so far from Cicero's ancient definition of justice, preserving each person's dignity. That suggests justice must see and acknowledge the individual, their context. Now, of course, demanding that justice not be blind to the person. It's a significant discussion. It's risky.
Yeah, it could open the door to arbitrary decisions, maybe even bias, if not handled carefully.
True. But Linshinger emphasizes how vital this discussion is, especially for us as humanists. He points out that while some groups might turn to more martial symbols like the raised fist to emphasize social justice and struggle, he, as a humanist, finds that approach unsettling. It implies conflict rather than, say, understanding or reconciliation.
And this is where the deep dive really resonates, I think, particularly for humanists who value reason, compassion, human dignity. Linshinger asks us to consider, humanists can and should develop a counteroffer that is more appealing and motivating.
A different kind of symbol.
Exactly. And he highlights a really beautiful, inspiring example from the South African Constitutional Court. Their symbol is justice under a tree.
Justice under a tree. I like that.
Doesn't it just evoke something different? It embodies community protection, a deliberate departure from harsh colonial laws, and the nurturing of a new human rights-based constitution.
It's a symbol that actively sees the community it serves. That feels very different from a blindfold. So while Justicia's blindfold has this incredibly complex, contested history and modern relevance, how does her mythological sister Fortuna fit into all this? Does her blindness carry a similar weight?
Well, again, just like Justicia back in ancient times, Fortuna wasn't blind. She was capricious, sure, unpredictable, but her eyes were open. She observed the world as she spun her wheel.
Right.
It's only later, especially from the Renaissance onwards, that her blindfold seems to appear more often.
And interestingly, Linshinger suggests this was often influenced by Justicia's new controversial iconography from the Narrenchief.
So the symbols kind of cross-pollinated?
It seems like it. They influenced each other. And Linshinger points out that in both cases, Justicia and Fortuna, the blindness ultimately becomes a metaphor for a kind of radical indifference, though applied differently.
Okay, how so?
For Justicia, as we've explored, it signifies that indifference to the person. That theoretical neutrality, which critics argue, can become a practical blindness to disadvantage.
Right.
For Fortuna, her blindfold represents an indifference to human standards, merit, morality, maybe even justice itself. She ignores it all.
She just bestows luck or misfortune without regard for any of that.
Exactly. Her blindness is a symbol of life's inherent, sometimes cruel, randomness.
Wow. So this whole deep dive into Justicia and Fortuna, it makes one thing abundantly clear. Symbols are never static, are they?
Not at all. They're dynamic reflections of our values, our fears, our ongoing societal debates about justice, luck, how we want to live together fairly.
Their meanings shift and evolve with the changing tides of human thought and society.
And the article powerfully concludes that every society has to constantly renegotiate how much blindness it truly wants, both in its justice system and maybe in its approach to the randomness of fate.
The blind justice ideal is definitely under heavy criticism.
It is. And Linshinger's work really compels us to examine why. It's not necessarily about discarding an ideal outright, but really scrutinizing its practical implications and its origins.
And as humanists, Linshinger's call to action echoes powerfully for us, I think. Instead of resorting to symbols that promote division or conflict, especially when facing deep societal challenges, we have this unique opportunity, maybe even a responsibility, to contribute constructive, thoughtful alternatives.
Alternatives that champion empathy, dignity, a truly inclusive understanding of justice.
Exactly, like that inspiring justice under a tree from South Africa. It really feels like it sees and embraces the community it represents. So the next time you see Justicia or Fortuna, You'll know their blindfolds hold centuries of shifting meaning, intense debate, and sometimes, yeah, profound satire.
It's not just a decorative detail, is it?
Not at all. It's like a centuries-long conversation about who we are, how we understand fairness, and who we aspire to be as a society.
Which I suppose raises an important final question for you, our listener, to maybe ponder. If Justicia were to remove her blindfold today, right now, what specific qualities or conditions in our world should she see?
And how might that vision, that seeing, fundamentally change our understanding of what true justice actually means for everyone?
Something to think about as you navigate your own world of facts and figures. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep asking the big questions.